Stop! Pay attention!
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I was in the D Club. I was popular with girls and boys.
Okay, this guy is a real zero. That's true.
Jeff Lutz.
Which means you weren't popular with either of them.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
In your head, that's the way it is. So, okay. You're so smart. I'll let it roll.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
Via a telephone, the way they did radio in the 1700s. We are joined on the IHOP hotline by our friend Dale Faber. He was alive in the 1700s. Fabes, how you doing?
Dale Faber, are you with us?
You know, mind, heart, and soul, I'm right with you, Bobby.
There you go. This show has taken whatever few years I have left in my life. It's certainly gotten a chunk of them today so far. Thank you for being with us. So.
I'm reading you.
You're in development at Friends University. They have a big football game coming up on Saturday. They are having a whale of a season. You're also the head boys basketball coach at Bishop Carroll. You got a lot on your plate right now, my friend.
Yeah, and we'll just put some sideboards on there and just keep eating, baby. That's how we do it. So it is. So it's a good ride, and you know we're. Bishop Carroll, we're still practicing on how to practice, but our football team, I think they know what's up. So things are good here at Friends University.
Yeah, and you've been at Friends for a while in various capacities. When that school and that football team was really, really down and went through a couple coaches, couldn't really figure it out, did this moment seem possible? Was the vision clear enough that you could see the light at the end of the tunnel, which is what's happening now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we, you know, we hit a lull there, you know, the previous 4 or 5 years before Coach Harrison got here. And we felt bringing Coach in, he was the man to get it turned. And, you know, he's certainly proven that that's the case.
Dale Faber with us, director of – what's your title at Friends, Coach? I don't want to give you something that you haven't earned.
Assistant Athletic Director of Development.
There you go. Well, that's a good title.
So I don't know what I'm developing, but you know, I am a developer.
Well, good.
I forget what I'm doing.
It's cool to see not only Friends still alive in the NAIA football playoffs, and by the way, they take on Grandview out of Iowa coming up Saturday, but Southwestern is still alive too, and those schools speak so clearly to me, kind of flagship NAIA, KCAC schools. How cool is it that both of these schools are still kicking?
You know, I think the important thing is we try to garner national respect in all areas of athletics, and football is definitely the bell cow of everything that goes on. And when you're looking at the KCAC, it's usually not highly thought of in football, basketball areas, and we struggle to get national tournament bids and that sort of thing. So to have two of us in the KCAC and to keep moving through the playoffs and have an opening round victory. And then and Kansas Wesleyan had the lead in the fourth quarter. So, you know, we got our people in place as far as the teams, and now it's up to those teams to keep making hay on moving forward and keep gathering respect nationally.
This is a multi-part question, so hang with me. I'm just curious if there was a moment where you realized you missed coaching, you know, what kind of prompted you to come back? I think we've talked about that a little bit on this show, but also what's the dynamic at Friends and you with their men's basketball program? Is it weird at all to still be involved school, but not coaching the basketball team anymore?
No, I think it's just important that Coach McClintock, who's taken over our basketball program, knows he has a sounding board and he can come in here and vent a little bit, and I can understand where he's coming from. And you know, I'm not in on the day to day any of the basketball operations, but it's fun to you know, go to practice every day and watch the Falcons in there where I don't have to get my whole world bent out of shape because they drop a pass out of bounds or something like that. But, you know, I enjoy it. I still enjoy basketball, and it's good to still be close enough to the program where a few people still think I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're getting bent out of shape by a high school kid. So congratulations, you made that transition.
You know, back to molding today's youth. That's what's happening, and unfortunately, the mold that I wanted them to fit into, that's not quite the same deal anymore. I don't know. So it's going all right.
How is it going at Bishop Carroll, a place you coached before? And you're back now, and Bishop Carroll's an interesting place. They just had their football coach resign, Dusty Trail, and they're going to be making some changes in that area. You're in your first year back as a basketball coach. How's that looking so far? You alluded to, you know, you're still a work in progress. How much progress needs to happen?
Well, I think when we look at it, we got to try to establish some sort of excitement and pride about being a Bishop Carroll basketball player. And, you know, it's not unusual. Slippage happens, but it really comes down to talent level and getting the best players on the floor. And there's just a whole bunch more distractions than there were earlier in my career for the young people. And, you know, they really, it's going to take them a while to get used to me and my style and so forth. But I think we got a good group, and but we definitely are. Right now, we're just adequate in a bunch of areas, and that's not going to be good enough to get through the gauntlet of the City League. That's for sure. So we're going to have to step it up.
Yeah, we know you have our friend Chris Davis on your staff. He's a guy a little bit from the old school as well. Is there going to be somebody on your staff that maybe has gone through those distractions, has experienced those a little bit? Not calling you old by any stretch. I wouldn't be able to do it either, Coach. But is there a younger guy on your staff? I guess I'll just ask it that way.
I think you just called me old, Coach.
Yeah, and he's not mistaken in that area, that's for sure. But let's don't get all excited about how young Chris Davis is. So that's for sure. So and you know what? We counted the other day. I got a lot more hair than what he does. So it's something to be seen, us going back at it again. But even with Coach Davis, you know, he's had to grab me. Coach, it's different nowadays. And of course, I got a way of putting it. But basically, I said, well, it doesn't have to be, but apparently it might. After this morning's practice, I'd say, yeah, well, maybe it does have to be different. But and Coach Greg Gertz runs our freshman program, and he's oh, I don't know. He's probably 45, so he's a youngster. And then we have Coach Lawrence Barless, who's been in the program a long time. So those guys have been tremendous help to me as I try to balance both work here at Friends and getting over to Bishop Carroll and get some things done. But you know what? I tell you what, I think, you know, watching our football program here at Friends, I mean, we just get down and kick it. You know, we're averaging 480 yards a game rushing, and it is just fun to watch people have confidence in doing what they do. And we continue to just bludgeon people here. So it's pretty good. It's been fun.
And what time is the kickoff? I'd normally have that information, but we've had a little rocky day here on the radio show.
Well, and, we're going at noon in Des Moines, Iowa. Kickoff. Yeah, versus Grandview, who they're number two in the nation. I think we're going to be ready. We run flexbone offense. I mean, we don't throw it, but three or four times a game. We're averaging 480 yards rushing. I mean, it's sort of like when you watch the service academies play Navy, Army, Air Force, and that sort of offense. And it's Kevontae Baker, our quarterback, Wichita Heights grad. He's a man out there. So he's Derrick Henry of quarterbacks. He just like people are flies trying to tackle him. So it's been kind of fun to watch the improvement.
Friends, again, in Des Moines on Saturday to face Grandview. Last question for you. Who do you open with Carroll? And is opening night Tuesday or Friday of next week?
We don't open till December 10th. I don't know. I guess God was smiling on me thinking Fabe's going to need a few more extra days. So we must have a bye or something. But December 10th against the Blue Aces of Wichita East. Yeah.
Well,
and then the Pioneers, and then it's I think it's the I forget the coach's name over at Capen. We played.
I think he just started.
So he's a rookie, isn't he, over there?
Yeah.
So,
green behind the ears.
Yeah. So it was fun to see all the few old heads that are still remaining, Coach Auer and Coach Eck. We visited a little bit the other night, so that was kind of fun.
Well, good luck in your season, and good luck with Friends University. Big, big football season for the Falcons. Dale Faber, Director of Development for the Friends Athletic Department, and head basketball coach at Bishop Carroll. Fabe's always good. Let's go to lunch, you, head, and me sometime. And Jeff, he wants to join us.
Why not?
Yeah, have Jeff bring his wallet this time, will you? I mean, yeah. He's, I don't know how it happens, but he...
If we're going to depend on Jeff or Chris to buy, we're not going to get much, so...
Well, all right. Well, they can have our crumbs then. I'll tell you what, I'll spring for it, Bob, this time, okay? Just you and I, though. I don't want those other vagabonds hanging around, so we'll be all right.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right. All right. Thanks for taking the time, guys. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye. You bet. Have a good one.
Bob and Jeff Show.
Denise Neal joins us, the queen of Thanksgiving. Denise, welcome.
Oh. Queen of Thanksgiving, I like it.
Yeah, I just thought of that. Kind of fits.
Thanks.
As we approach Thanksgiving, I know one of the most popular stories you write is the restaurants that are open or that do delivery or where you can go pick up a Thanksgiving meal. How big of a deal is it to those places to have this opportunity for maybe people who don't have somewhere to be on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I mean, the list gets bigger all the time, and it's weird. It's changed over the years as COVID happened and things changed and the same way they presented things changed. But, yeah, a lot of restaurants offer buffets that you can enjoy in person that day if you don't want to cook at home. Or if you want to eat at home but not cook at home, you can go pick up the whole thing. And what's weird is that over the years since COVID, more people seem to be offering the to-go options than the dine-in. I mean, there's plenty of dine-in, but the to-go is a big deal.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to take their food back home. That's
That makes a lot of sense. I have a non-Thanksgiving related question. I'm sure we'll get back to Thanksgiving, but what are the like trends in Wichita restaurants right now? Not even necessarily food related, but I know like there was a time where a whole bunch of fried chicken restaurants were opening. There was a time where it was like a barbecue restaurant opening every week. I don't know if it's like that anymore, but are there specific trends or styles that are prevalent right now?
I seem to notice a few trends that have popped up over the last couple of years. The main one I've noticed is boba tea. Have you guys had that before?
No, I haven't had it. My daughter loves it.
It's delicious, but there's a boba tea shop on every corner, and I feel like a new one opens every day. And then another thing that's been real popular the last year, Jeff, is Korean corn dogs, which are kind of,
Wow. They're
dipped in, it's the wiener on a stick, but it's dipped in a batter that's made with rice flour. And so the coating is kind of real chewy. It's different from the cornmeal coating. And then they'll like roll it in things like hot Cheeto crumbles or puffed rice or interesting things like that. And then they also make donuts out of that flour, that rice flour. And those are great, mochi donuts. And it seems like a lot of those places are opening.
Talking with Denise Neal, Dining with Denise, her Facebook page. My goodness, 35,000 followers. How about that? That's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
What can I say?
Hello. Oh, there you go. All right.
I was just going to let you go ahead and keep admiring me.
So I think I could live to be 1,000. And one of my fondest memories of a restaurant is our frequent trips to Quoncourt out on Rock Road. And Here we are all these years later, and nothing's come along to replace that. My wife and I did go to Shanghai, their buffet, the other day on Sunday, and it's pretty darn good, too. Just talk about how much we miss Quoncourt. Let's reminisce for a moment.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, of course I miss Quoncourt. Their buffet was excellent. I can still remember the hot and sour soup that I would always get, an egg roll. I mean, it was always fresh and beautiful. The thing that I have gotten interested in about Quoncourt, Bob, over the years is all the different places that operated there before Quoncourt, which is completely fascinating to me. All the things that building had been before it was Quoncourt, including Charlie Brown's, a place called The Hatch. Did you ever get to go there, Bob?
I did go to The Hatch a few times, yeah.
Oh, I would love to go to The Hatch. Now it's a dental office, and whenever I drive by, that makes me really sad. But, finding good Chinese in town gets harder every year. I mean, Ming's just closed earlier this year. They were kind of a backup. We do have a few good places left. There's good old Lee's on West Street. There's Shanghai, of course. There's a really interesting Chinese restaurant out on East Kellogg in that strip center that has Walmart and stuff called, oh my gosh, now I'm drawing a blank what it's called, Tinalun Bistro. That place is pretty cool.
Go.
It has some interesting and unusual things on the menu. You got to check that out.
So have you been to... Go ahead. My bad.
No, I was going to try to spell it, but go ahead.
No need. Have you been out to Sharky's yet? My wife and I went out there. Pretty good.
Mm.
I was just wondering, I was just curious about what you think about the location. It feels like a tough location. And about if that's the type of place that typically can last in a town like Wichita.
Well, Sharky's is a Hawaiian and poke place that opened in front of the Warren a couple of months ago. I have always been kind of surprised that places that sit right on 21st Street in front of the Warren Theater can't make a go of it, but that has seemed to be the case over the years on that strip center. You would think that place would be pretty easy to make a go in. But Sharky's has Hawaiian food, which is kind of interesting, you know, the different kinds of chicken and spam, wasabi type things. But I think they also have poke, which is one of my favorite things in town. And the guy that owns it also owns Crafted, the poke place at 21st and Webb, which is the best one in my opinion. So, I mean, people just got to open their minds and try it. We've had a few Hawaiian places that have kind of been here for quite some time now. His poke place has made it for a while. There's a new poke chain in town. And there's the Noble House. They've been around here for 7 or 8 years. So, yeah, I think it can make it. It has a specific audience. But what'd you try, Jeff?
You're not going to be very enthused by this. I went with the chicken tenders and the fried rice.
How adventurous.
Yeah, boy, that nothing speaks Korean adventure fried like chicken. That.
It was Korean, okay, fried,
Korean
chicken,
fried
chicken, and I thought
that's
it was good.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah, we had different. The teriyaki chicken with the rice, which was also good. I should expand more, but I just felt like something simple that night. It wasn't necessarily that I'm going to go here just to get chicken tenders. I'll expand my horizons the next time we go out there.
Well, I've got to tell you guys, poke is one of my favorite things. It is so good. You just build your own bowl with rice, and then you can pick a meat, which is like raw tuna or raw salmon, or you can get cooked shrimp. I always get tuna. And you can put like edamame and green onions and ginger and all these sauces and sesame seeds, avocado, crab salad. Oh, my gosh, it's good.
My goodness.
Talking with Denise Neal, our food expert and restaurant expert. So I've been reading. I love to peruse and read your stuff and others. Not many others, but I like to see what's happening in restaurants. And I have tried to expand my horizons a little bit. Tell us about this new restaurant called Eclipse at Central and Tyler. What do you know about it?
Well, that place is owned by the father of the woman who owns that Amore Italian restaurant over at 21st and Amadon, where neighbors used to be.
Right.
So her father needed a project. And best I know about it, it's a bar and grill, just a kind of a straightforward bar and grill with bar food and stuff. And he just, that place is also one of those places that struggled to keep a tenant. So we'll see how he does over there. But, it's open again. It's been a lot of things over the years. Wasn't that Angelo's for a while? It's been Red Mesa. It's been the Agostino Brewing. It's been an Indian place. So that place is always evolving. But we'll see how he does. Just sounds like an old-fashioned bar and grill.
Denise, are you a traditional Thanksgiving eater? You go with all the traditional foods? Or since you are a foodie of sorts, do you go off the beaten path a little bit?
Well, heck no. You got to do the traditionals, Jeff. And we do the
same recipes
my mom's been doing since we were little. Even though I question often if they are the best recipes, they are our recipes, and we stick with them. But there are a few things as I have become foodified that I insist upon that have not always been the case at my Thanksgiving. For example, no heat and serve rolls. The rolls must be yeast rolls that were raised. They must be puffy and buttery. I will accept no less. And I will take care of it. The other problem, Jeff and Bob, I hope you don't have this problem. My father insists on overcooking the turkey. He thinks he's going to get food poisoning if that thing is not cooked within an inch of its life. And I'm sorry, no. It must be pulled out this moment that it reaches the ideal temperature so that it's juicy. Otherwise, Thanksgiving is ruined. So my dad and I fight a lot over when the turkey needs to come out of the oven.
Have you won that battle?
I win it, man. I fight a lot harder than he does. And I mostly have everybody on my side. Nobody wants to eat dry turkey but him.
You've given me another idea that I'd like to share with you as a potential idea for one of your stories. You know, I like best of ranking things. You know, I love that. Who has the best rolls in town?
Ooh.
Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah. I think Jeff could be right. Those things are amazing.
Who'd Jeff say?
Texas Roadhouse. It's
Yeah. Roll. It's hard to beat Texas
top
Roadhouse.
With all that honey butter. Those
Texas
things are
Roadhouse
dangerous.
Would be in the top five for sure.
That
could be an interesting story.
It could be, and it would force me to go around town and eat a lot of bread, which I'm up for.
I would be. Hey, Denise, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for spending some time with us. Tell your family hello.
I will, and Bob, yeah. I feel like I've spent the whole day with you because the Eagle Bigwigs have been in my back room all day working on that documentary.
Yeah, Denise's husband, Travis, and her very good friend, Jamie, are working on a documentary covering the statue theft and really everything about League 42. And we're really excited about that debut. And we think it's going to happen relatively soon, right?
I think so. But I hear your voice in my back room every day, all day.
Wow.
It's like you're here.
Comforting.
I know it is very comforting to me, actually.
Thank you, Denise. We love you.
Okay. You guys have a good one.
All right. Denise Neal from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com. Make sure to follow her on Facebook, her Dining with Denise page. As I said, many, many, many followers. All right. We made it through an hour. We're doing our best, folks. We're trudging through on a Tuesday. We'll play a game a little bit later on in the show. We'll be back in a minute.
Endorse this event or product.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Now, there's where Jeff and Duda failed to rise to the occasion. I'm going to say this again. This show should be called Bob Knows.
Jeff Lutz.
If he sent his clips to another station trying to get a job, they'd say no. And they'd say, "What about that other guy? He sounds funny and much younger."
Hey, listen. There's a phone call for you.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
I hope so, because he's going to be talking to one idiot right here.
I know what you mean.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
You rockers ready to roll?
All right, welcome back, everybody. The Bob and Jeff Show. Hour number two, KFH Radio, 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. We'd love to hear from you in this hour number two. Jeff will have a game coming up in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, about that.
What?
I have a game, but it was for three people, and it's on my phone. So I don't know what we're going to do at 3:25.
Well, you'll figure something out.
I'm not going to use that game. We might just have to talk. We might have to play the game tomorrow. Because
why can't Max play the game?
It's a three-person game. Max is heavily involved. It needs to be you against Duda, and when Max is also involved, it's a fun game.
Well, you can look something up, and we'll play a game like that, like I do with you at times.
Yeah, but that's boring.
Ravens last night when they went over the Chargers, it looks closer than it was, and it was close for quite some time, but ultimately, Mr. Derrick Henry took control, and like many teams. The Chargers did not have an answer. I continue to – boy, it's so hard to figure out the NFL this year. Other than Detroit, is there a slam dunk team that will go far in the playoffs? Is Kansas City that slam dunk?
I don't know. I don't think anybody's a slam dunk. I think anybody can lose on any given day. No, they're not. They can lose just as easily as the next team. We have no idea what's going to happen with Detroit. Okay, then maybe they will. But no, I mean,
Detroit, Philadelphia will play for the NFC title.
Then why do we even need to play the rest of the schedule?
And Kansas City will play Buffalo for the AFC title.
Okay, so what do you need my answers for? What do you need?
Don't really need any answers.
Then why'd you ask me?
Don't really need any help. Don't really need any assistance.
Okay, well then, no more questions.
Don't need an
opinion.
If you have
the answer to the question that you ask me, then you don't need to ask me the question.
Certainly don't need an opinion or an adversarial response. I know where I am on that.
That must be fun to have just watch sports and already know what's going to happen and don't really get too invested because the results are basically predetermined in your mind. Nothing, no upsets can happen. There's going to be no drama, nothing interesting or exciting. So, yeah, KC,
well,
Buffalo.
That's all interesting. If we get those teams in the AFC and NFC title games, I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, but if you told me at the beginning of the season, hey, it's going to be Detroit and Philadelphia, what's the point of watching the season? Who cares at that point? Just get me to the NFC Championship game, and I'll watch that. Why
well,
let
the rest of the
season play
that
out?
We've gone long enough in the season where we can say those two teams have separated themselves to some degree from the pack, although you'd still have to take a look at Minnesota. But I think Detroit and Philadelphia are clearly the two teams we would most expect. And in the AFC, I think we've played long enough now to determine that Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore will have the most to say.
Well, there's a lot of things we can determine over the course of 11 games.
Right, thank you.
That don't
thank you for your agreement.
Play out over the course of the next 11 or so weeks or 10 weeks or whatever.
You know, I don't like arguing with you nearly as much when you're not in the same room because I don't feel like
I'm much more aggravating. I know that.
I don't know why you're aggravated.
I just don't like what's to talk about? If hey, it's going to be these two teams and these two teams. All right, well, great. What about
an opinion? It's just an opinion. I also have an opinion about the game tonight between Duke and Kansas. It's going to be a whale of a game. You going to watch?
It starts at 8. I might watch it. I don't know what we got going on this evening. It's Thanksgiving week. It's time to be with family and be of good cheer and count our blessings. I don't know what's going to happen this evening.
You know what?
I don't know what's going to happen in the NFC.
I'll count the number of shots both teams make tonight. That's what I'm going to count. I'll get
really?
To Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. This is 2 days before Thanksgiving. We've got a marquee matchup. Not only are both teams really good this year, these are two of the blue bloods. If you're going to go shopping for Christmas decorations on a night when these two teams play, I would question your priorities, frankly.
Yeah, that's not at all what I said. I didn't say anything about shopping for Christmas presents or whatever you decorations. KU will beat Duke. How about that for an opinion and a prediction? And hey, now you don't need to watch because you know the outcome. KU beats Duke tonight. KU already
well,
beat North Carolina,
but I'm looking forward to watching the game. I mean, I'm my whole night is centered around that game tonight.
I thought you were talking earlier like you might not even be able to make it.
What do you mean be able to make it?
Fall asleep.
Oh please. What do you think I am, old? Although I do need sleep, there's absolutely no question about it. I'm in one of those phases. I don't know if you go through these phases, but every dream I have, and I have about 27 a night now, is bizarre. And I don't know what to do about it, but it's affecting me in some strange way.
Like what? Give me an example of one of your latest dreams.
Extremely weird, and they involve lots of things. It's just bizarre. I don't know what I'm going through.
You're going through something, and I hope you get it addressed.
I never
dream
about you, by the way.
Why would you? Why would I be in your subconscious? I am like the easiest person to deal with. My life is not stressful. Everything's going fine.
Oh, really? Your life is not stressful. I'll remember
not,
that. The next time.
Compared to a lot of other people's.
Oh, what are you, Mr. Goodwill, all of a sudden? Where's this coming from?
I'm not an idiot to see that my life is pretty good. I'm not saying it's the best life. I'm not saying I don't feel for people who haven't been as lucky as I've been, but, you know.
I ask this literally. Who's on the phone? This isn't you. I can't see you. I don't know where you are. This is like doing a show remotely, which I will never do. I can't stand it. You get a lot more bold when you're not in my line of
vision.
Yeah,
I don't like this.
I can tell you that right now.
I thought you just banged the show today. That's what we were all hoping for.
No, I'll never bang the show.
Max Fire in the studio understands that that's not in my repertoire.
I don't know what Max understands.
I'll do, yeah, you and Max got your own thing. But what he understands about me is that if I have to put up a couple tin cans, I'll do the show.
Yeah, I would have banged it first sign of trouble. That's me.
That's you. You want out so badly. The first thing, the first sign you see that you can escape something, you're in it. And not me. I'm here for the fight. I'm here for the duration. Is this ideal today? No. But you know what? Our listeners are thankful that I'm giving them this effort.
It is less than ideal. I was going to play a lot of catch with Duda. He's not here anymore. He's probably at home sleeping. He's having a great time, not even listening to us. What a life he has as well. But we're making.
I don't envy Jason Duda's life. I mean, I don't envy Jason Duda's life. And there's no way. Of the three of us, I've got the best life. And there's really no questioning that.
If you say so. If you feel that way, I guess it's true.
Well, let's compare, okay?
Okay.
Give me something you got.
I don't know.
See? You can't even come up with something.
A wife and a daughter and pets and a roof over my head.
Go one and we'll go one at a time.
Okay. You go.
Go. Your wife. Is that what you said? Is that the first?
Sure.
My wife's better. Next.
Based on what?
Next.
What's the criteria you're judging that on?
Just my judgment. Next.
Oh, here's one. I got a kid. Why don't you say your kid's better?
Your kid's better. Next.
Yeah. I thought. So we're tied up at one?
One.
I got my cats.
My dog's infinitely better. 2-1.
You don't even know. You don't even know.
2-1.
That's loving we are to our animals.
Yeah, I didn't say you're not loving. I just said I'd rather have a dog than a cat.
Well, you don't have cats, and that's a ridiculously short-sighted.
Okay, 2-1. Next.
Inexperienced opinion. I know how to cook dinner. I can go home and cook dinner tonight.
3-1 me. I order it out and everything's great.
Yeah, you gotta you gotta go figure it out. You gotta spend money. You gotta drive. You gotta. It's like
yeah, I got plenty of money. Next.
Yeah, but you don't want to get out and go get food when it's cold out. And
I don't mind. Next.
You could be
3-1.
You could be hunkered down. We got a lot of comfy blankets.
You view blankets as being a top five thing in your life.
Easily, if not higher.
What about my new kitchen?
You don't use it, so.
Of course we use it. What about my new kitchen?
It looks nice, but again, what's the functionality?
6-1. What next?
No, I quit.
Well, you ought to. So this is drubbing. It's a drubbing, and it was – we needed to play it. We needed to get – and by the way, your wife and my wife are virtually tied. I didn't mean anything derogatory toward your
wife. Sure you didn't.
Wife. She's
our game? Did we play our game?
Huh?
Is that our game? Did we play our game?
No, we still got to play a game.
I don't know what we're going to play.
You'll figure it out. I have unbelievable faith in you. By the way, did you go home and watch the finish of Memphis UConn?
No, I did not. Tell us about it.
Led by a bunch in that game, and UConn came back kind of methodically, even, and got it into overtime. Memphis was able to figure it out, but Dan Hurley assessed a technical foul. Could have gotten about 7. That guy's a loose cannon. I don't like him. I don't like UConn.
Really?
I'm done with Dan Hurley. He's a whack job. He's a whack job.
He's a little intense. Yesterday was part of the game I was watching at your house.
He's off the deep end.
He's unhinged. Is that what you're trying to say?
I hope they lose every game. I can't stand.
That's not going to happen.
Well, I don't know if it's going to happen.
What's wrong with being a little passionate over there?
Nah, he takes it to it. This is what happens when you don't watch.
I saw him.
You didn't see it. You just said you didn't watch.
But I've seen it. I've seen it since. I saw him go crazy. And I saw him go crazy earlier in the game. He's nuts. But, you know, he's a passionate guy. He wants to win.
So you okay that? You're fine with that?
Yeah, he might have taken it a little too far with some of the comments. But, again,
you know, this is just another example of you hearing an opinion from your father and going the other way. And it's inexcusable. And it's
that I'm gonna have to abandon this program. I hope they lose every game because their coach flew off the handle.
Yeah, I can't stand them. I hope they lose. I hope they lose a lot of games. Can't stand them. And I'll die on that hill. I don't like that kind of stuff. When you're bitching and moaning about every call, you're yelling at the other team. It's just not good. I don't like it, and I don't like Dan Hurley, and I don't care what you say. I don't like it.
Okay. You haven't cared what I said this whole segment, if not even further back. Maybe this entire show's history. Maybe you haven't cared what I said.
What about even before that?
I doubt it.
You don't think I've ever cared about what you said?
I don't know. I have to think about it.
What a terrible thing to say about a father. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's Dan Hurley-like. No wonder you like the guy.
I didn't say I like him. I just said I'm not going to root for his downfall because he got a little nuts in Maui.
Why don't you move a little farther away, please?
Why?
Go farther toward the entrance of the Rudd Center. I'd prefer not hearing you twice. Does that make sense?
I don't really want to go much farther away, but I guess I will.
Yeah, you can stray from your father a little bit. You'll be okay.
Okay, if you say so.
It'll work out just fine. Again, right. If you just tuned in, we've had some technical issues on the show today. We attempted to get through them and made our best effort in good faith. And we've got a piece of equipment here at the Rudd Center that's not cooperating. And we're going to get that fixed. Our great friend Tony Deusing, program director, will be out here next week, and we'll get this figured out because we like doing the show from the Rudd Center. It's very cozy. We got a nice little studio, a makeshift studio. It's kind of fun to do the show from here. So we'll get it figured out. What?
We get to play catch at times.
I don't care about that. I like doing the show here. All right, we'll take a break. Jeff will do his best to come up with a game. Tomorrow on the show, we'll visit with Joanna Chadwick from Byte Magazine about the high school championship game. I don't want to lose sight of that. Even though some of our area teams got knocked off, Derby, what happened? I need to know. No Derby, but we'll talk high school football with Joanna tomorrow. We'll be back in a minute. The Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
KFH.
Don't forget about the IHOP hotline, 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Jeff, did you come up with an impromptu competition?
Yeah, we got a little something here.
All right, Max.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, thank you. Here we go. What is the game today, Jeffrey?
This game is called Granddaddy of Them All, and we're going to go into four. Yeah, I just came up with it. We're going to go into four different categories, and you're going to tell me the players or the people who fit the category. We're going to start in professional wrestling.
Is this a Max game, too, or just me?
No, this isn't a Max game. This is just you. But we're going to start, and I want you to tell me the wrestlers who have at least 5 wins at WrestleMania.
Hulk, how many are there?
There are about 20 that I counted.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania is 8-3-1. He is correct.
There you go. The Rock.
The Rock. He has competed in 12 matches. He's won 7 of them. That is correct.
Really? He's only won 7?
Yeah, he's 7-5 at WrestleMania.
I can't believe they made The Rock lose 5 times at WrestleMania.
Dude, last year at WrestleMania, didn't he?
Stone
no, he didn't.
Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin has competed at WrestleMania in 8 matches and won 6 of them. That is correct.
All right. The Undertaker.
The Undertaker, of course, is correct. Most matches in WrestleMania history at 27. Most wins at 25. Correct.
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, 12 matches. He's won 9. Also correct.
Now it gets a little dicier. Triple H.
Triple H, of course, is correct, although he has a losing record at WrestleMania. 23 matches, 10-13 his record.
Well, that makes no sense whatsoever.
He's lost a bunch of times at WrestleMania.
That's crazy. Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, you might not believe it, but he is correct. He has 17 matches at WrestleMania. He's won 6, lost 11.
No way. Bret
believe
the Hitman Hart.
Uh-oh. Bret Hart. He was around for a while. 14 matches at WrestleMania, and he's won 8. You're doing well in this category.
Well, I mean, it's not that difficult. It starts to become a little bit more difficult. I'll say Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. Huh. I'm trying to find him on my list of even WrestleMania matches. He has
several different personas, so it might need to add them all up.
He had 6 matches at WrestleMania, only won 2. You have run into your first barrier.
Well, now, wait a minute. What about Cactus Jack and Dude Love and all those different? They wouldn't put him under Mick Foley.
Huh? Yeah, they do. They do.
No, they don't. I question your judgment.
He was only around for a few years, my friend.
Chris Jericho.
Well, this game's over, but Chris Jericho, 5-9 at WrestleMania.
Okay. Got that one. Next.
All right, let's go to baseball. I want to see how many guys you can tell me who have won the World Series 5 times and been on the World Series roster.
That's a short list. And it's going to be full of Yankees. Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson. He only won 4. But
I disagree.
He, he got to 5, I think, but won 4.
He won 3 in Oakland.
No, he won 3 in Oakland and 2 in New York, but one of those times he didn't play in the World Series, according to my research.
Well, that's utterly ridiculous. You said, was he on the roster?
Did he play in the World Series? He did not.
What
he played in 4 World Series. That's all I'm telling you.
You know, if you're going to come up with a game, work at it.
I do work at it.
Mickey Mantle.
All right in front of me. Mickey Mantle, of course, is going to be correct. He played in a ton of World Series. 7. He's got 7. 7 rings.
Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra, of course. Let's go down to Yogi. He's got 10.
Whitey Ford.
Whitey Ford.
6.
Right. Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth. Got to scroll back up. 7 World Series championships.
It's all, it's just a bunch of Yankees. Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, 9. And yes, it is a bunch of Yankees.
Well, outside of the Yankees, there's no one.
There's nobody.
A bunch more Yankees, but all it is a Yankees question.
Well, do you want to try to name a player who won 4 without playing for the Yankees?
Well, that'd have to be Catfish Hunter.
Well, Catfish Hunter played for the Yankees.
Right.
Very famously, and had 5 World Series, 3 in Oakland, 2 with New York.
4 without playing for the Yankees.
Yeah. But it's been done.
Musial had 3. I can't think of who that would be.
Well, you've got, how about Mike Timlin? You ever think of him?
No, never thought of him.
Do you ever think of... Paul Blair. How about, that's about
Paul
it.
Paul Blair?
No, he played for the Yankees. How about, you ever think of Eddie Collins?
Next, what's the next game?
Did you ever think of Everett Scott? We're going to go now to basketball. We're also going to try to see 5 championships or more.
Well, this will be Celtics and Lakers.
Maybe.
Bill Russell.
Yes, of course, Bill Russell.
Sam Jones.
Sam Jones. He's got 10.
KC Jones.
KC Jones has 8.
Right. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has 6 rings.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan has 6 rings.
Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen has 6 rings.
Yeah, big shock. There's more Celtics, but there are lesser known people.
Not necessarily.
Tom Heinsohn.
Tommy Heinsohn, 8.
Yeah.
Duh.
What do you mean, duh? I'm the one doing the guessing here. John Havlicek.
John Havlicek is absolutely correct. He's got 8.
Dave Cowens.
That's where you're gonna lose us. Dave Cowens does not have 3 or more, so he's incorrect. How about Michael Cooper? How about Bob Cousy? Tim Duncan?
Yeah, I hadn't gotten to that level. I wondered about Dave Cowens. I'm not surprised he's not at that level.
Derek Michael Fisher, Cooper, Ron Harper,
James Worthy,
Robert Horry. Steve
right.
Kerr won 5 as a player. George right. Mikan won 5.
Next.
And finally, we go to football. 4 or more.
Montana.
Joe Montana, 4 championships.
Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw, also 4 championships.
Brady.
Tom Brady, of course, has 7.
Gronk.
Rob Gronkowski with 4.
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice. He is not on my list.
Come on, man.
I don't know how he's not on my list. Didn't he win all 4 with Montana? I guess not.
No. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't get the whole game, frankly.
Oh, that's too bad.
This is what happens when you just throw something together.
What do you mean? This is a great game.
I didn't enjoy it for whatever reason. Hear that.
Charles Haley won 5. He's the only player to win 5 besides Tom Brady.
Once we won a few with the 49ers and a couple with the Cowboys.
Yeah, 2 for San Francisco, 3 with the Cowboys. Brilliant.
There you go. That makes perfect sense. But there had to be other Patriots.
Not that many. Adam Vinatieri, but
John
he won
Hanna.
One of his with what?
Going way back.
No, I don't think so. Adam Vinatieri won 4.
There you go. All right, not bad. Not a bad game for short notice. Mac Brown fired as football coach at North Carolina. North Carolina is one of those programs that every year it seems like people are touting them as a potential contender for something, and they never quite get to that level. And Mac Brown is gone at North Carolina. Is North Carolina a school you would expect to be in the mix in college football?
I don't necessarily see why not. They could be. Anybody could be in today's day and age of college sports. They used to have – they brought like 3 really good quarterbacks in, like right in a row. None of them yet have turned out to be great in the pros. But then they have like Trubisky and then Sam Howell. And then Drake May, I think that was
the good individual players, but they never put it really together to make any kind of a challenge for anything. They're just kind of there. They're good, usually good, but never really not anything more than that.
Yeah, basically, they're like the Oklahoma State of the ACC, perhaps. Probably not even quite to that level, to be honest. They haven't really even threatened for conference championships that I can remember, but they've been good.
And we'll see what they do.
And they can probably do better than Mac Brown.
So at 5:00, we've got one of the semifinals in the Maui Classic, Memphis and Michigan State. And then later on, we have a really late game, Auburn and North Carolina. Auburn came back and beat Iowa State last night. And North Carolina was down big to Dayton and figured out a way to come back and win that game. So if that game was being played earlier in the evening, I'd be all in, but I can't make it to 10:30 for a tip-off, you know?
I feel you. Memphis has a really good opportunity. I think, you know, as far as the American, they're going to do well. It remains to be seen if they'll run away with it or even win it. But a win over UConn and a pretty good showing in your conference, they're in the NCAA tournament already. If they get a couple
more
wins, they're in.
Do you really trust Memphis?
I don't know that I trust them to win a national championship, but
do you trust them? I'm not talking about what I'm talking about. Do you trust them to meet the expectations? And if the answer is yes, my next question is, when did that happen?
Well, what's the expectation? You got to define that for me.
Well, the expectation is that they're a Sweet 16 team.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You trust them.
It's not whether I trust them, but it's not.
I'm
I can
asking
see it
you
happening.
Right now. Do you trust them?
I don't trust anybody, but I could see it happening.
Do you trust Kansas to get to the Sweet 16?
Do I trust them?
Yeah.
No, I believe. I don't trust anyone.
That's a terrible character trait in you, that the inability to trust. I think I can trust Kansas to get to the Sweet 16. I can't trust Memphis.
Don't.
I can't trust Memphis yet, even to get to the tournament.
I think Kansas will get to the Sweet 16, but if I say I trust them and they burn me, what does that mean for me?
Well,
I'm too easily trusting.
That's what trust is. You wipe away the fear of being burned.
Yeah, I'll never wipe that fear away, personally or professionally.
Really?
Absolutely.
So you always feel like There's someone there to burn you?
Absolutely.
It's
not a great character trait, but again, you said it, so there you go.
Well, that's a terrible way to go through life.
It is.
Surely you have a high level of trust for your wife.
You're breaking up what?
I said, surely you have a high level of trust for your wife.
Yeah, sure.
Although she could do better. But still, the trust is there, right?
Generally, yeah. But we don't need to talk about all this. Yes. The answer is yes.
You know, this is my favorite thing in the world.
What is?
Painting people into corners. It speaks poorly of me, but
it does.
I'm having so much fun right now, I can't even describe it.
Yeah, but you don't get to paint me in the corners. I don't allow it.
Oh, I got you there. I got you into the corner.
I only go into the corner if I want to go into the corner.
No, you went into the corner. You went into the corner and you were there for a little bit, and then you knew you had to get out. And more power to you, but I got you into the corner.
I don't think that's exactly how it went, but if that makes you feel better.
Well, there's no question about it. Now, did I keep you in the corner very long? No, but I got you into the corner.
Sure you did. Sure you did.
And I had some questions and comments that made you uncomfortable.
Aren't you the same way? Aren't you a hesitant to trust kind of guy?
Well, sure I am.
Corner.
That's not a corner. If you ask me specifically about my wife and being able to trust her, I'll avoid that question. I'll evade it. I'll never go there.
It's a tough question, isn't it?
You go there momentarily.
I answered the question.
Well, you'll never get me to answer that question.
Why?
Because it would be a matter of trust.
Why would it be just automatic?
I trust you to use that answer in the way I'd want you to use it. Does that make sense?
It's a yes or no question.
I don't think you'd. I don't think you'd take that answer and make me look good.
Okay. Well, I don't feel like I have any utility over the answer, but if you don't want to answer it, that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's best to just leave that alone.
Wonderful. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow with Duda.
What do you got? What do you have planned? And I'll probably ask you this again tomorrow. But what do you have planned for Thanksgiving?
Spending it with the Kings, the outside family, the cousins and the step uncles and all that.
Oh, there you go.
They invited us over, so hey, we'll go.
Well, what's on the menu? Do you know?
I don't. But I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
Well, good for you guys. And then the big feast at your house on Sunday. And we have the Survivor Series event Saturday. Do we have a crew coming by for that?
I'll text the folks and see what they have going on.
You know who has to be there, right? You know that.
Randy?
Scotty.
Nah. He's already been wrong about who the fifth man was going to be.
He is the go-to guy for the wrestling event.
Why is he always wrong?
I just enjoy having him there.
That's fine. Then just say that.
But he knows more about wrestling than anybody I've ever met.
That's stupid. He doesn't even approach the level of wrestling I know about. That's
Corner.
Just stupid.
Corner.
No, that's just dumb. That was just a dumb take.
Unbelievable how I can get you there.
He doesn't go back to the late 80s, early 90s like I do.
Well, I enjoy his perspective, and I hope he's able to come. How's that?
I'm going to disinvite him now.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that won't be fun. We like it when he shows up. All right, thank you all for listening today. Again, we apologize for the technical difficulties that made it a little more challenging, but we were able to get through it. We appreciate all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
with the three-man booth. Have a good night.